It's Dusty and Mike with some exciting Gays shop updates.
Old prints are making a comeback as we're looking to clear out stock to make room for new items, including posters from season 8 and 9.
For the remainder of the summer through Labor Day 2026, all individual prints will be $8 and all collections will be $20. That's right. It's basically a half off sale on all of our older prints.
And when the summer is over, our older prints will only be available as collection, not as individual prints. So act now and bring some of the national parks home with you.
Head to shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com or visit the link on our website.
These low, low prices won't stick around forever.
Hello and welcome to Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Mike, and welcome to our Season 8 Summit.
If you are joining us for the first time, our Summit episodes are like our season wrap-up party. It's our chance to encompass all the parks we visited this past season and view them through four different lenses that investigate the parks a little deeper by examining the visitor experience, the history, the environment and wildlife, and on a much grander scale, the hiking and experiences within the parks.
Each season, we have also worked to tweak the format of our summit episodes just a bit, allowing for a fresh look at the parks we covered all season long, while also touching base on important issues on the slate that need to be examined.
In this summit episode, which is our last and final episode of season 8, before our hiatus, y'all, we are discussing hiking trails, which is what our show is all about. It's sort of like if Planet Earth and Amazing Race had a love child, minus the disembodied David Attenborough voice narrating us through it all. Planet Earth and Amazing Race. That's an interesting crossover there.
You don't think so?
How so? Tell me your logic.
I mean, we see beautiful things, and also we race to places.
Yeah, we move fast. That's right.
Because we're gay.
That's it. That is right.
And we look at things, hence the title of the show.
Exactly. I mean, it's true. If you've made it this far and don't get the double entendre of the title,
welcome.
Welcome. You've arrived. Welcome, but also,
way too late.
Girl, where you been? Where have you been? Okay, so did you watch travel television shows when you were younger?
I don't think I really did. Maybe a little bit of Rick Steves, who was like, you know, Mr. European Travel for a while. I wasn't like a real big like Nat Geo kid. Like, I've never really actually watched all of Planet Earth. And I feel like
it would
be
wonderful.
Great to do.
Yeah,
because there's not much time for us to enjoy it.
I remember my stepmother would leave the Travel Channel on at all times. I mean, she and my dad always watch football games, but if there's not a sporting event happening on the TV that they're watching, it was on the Travel Channel.
Right.
Now, the Travel Channel, I think some version of it still exists. However, it's just all food shows.
It's
not about traveling. No. It's just food shows. But I used to watch it all the time with her, and I'd be like, oh, okay, so this is what it's like to explore Prague, and this is what it's like to explore New Zealand, like on a horse. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
All the time. And I loved that. And I do remember like Rick Steves had a show.
Yeah.
And I remember this was on the Food Network, but Rachel Ray had a $40 a day show. And I'm like, don't we remember like a time when one could have $40 and eat
three meals
in a city, like eat out for three meals for $40. And I'm sure, like, if I only had $40 right now in New York, I could eat three meals, but they would all be bodega meals.
Sure.
And I would have to have a refillable water bottle, and I got, like, water for free. There would be no buying beverages.
No.
You know what I mean? That would be the only way to do it on $40 a day.
But I know. What's the adjusted price for inflation that you'd have to do now?
It'd probably be, like, $80 a day. Like, the point of doing $40 a day was, like, it's budget.
Yeah,
but it's also like allows you to like still experience what it's like to eat the special items of that area.
Sure. Before we dive into our episode on hiking trails from this season, we wanted to take a minute to draw attention to something happening in the national parks at this moment in time.
It is no secret that our environmental disaster in chief, otherwise known as the current sitting president, is no friend to the environment. While there is a litany of atrocities, including the active advancement toward The repeal of the roadless rule, the dismantling of ocean monitoring systems, which track ocean temperatures and yield climate change information, and the rollback of the EPA's endangerment finding, to name a few, the national parks and national forests have been a consistent target for his ire.
Well, in his first term, Bears Ears National Monument and Grand Staircase of the Escalante were reduced in size due to potential for mining and resource culling. They were later reinstated by the Biden administration to their original size or larger, as was the case with Bears Ears National Monument.
In the second term, however, one national park has recently been the target of immense change that could endanger the entire system as a whole. We're talking about Big Bend National Park, located in the state of Texas.
As of early June 2026, in order to increase border security, the Trump administration has rolled back a slew of laws that are designed to protect and enshrine these natural spaces for the plants and animals that inhabit them so that they may be enjoyed by future generations. The following laws have been waived to allow for construction of roads and vehicle barriers adjacent to and within Big Bend National Park and Big Bend Ranch State Park. The Antiquities Act, the Archaeological and Historical Preservation Act, the Administrative Procedures Act, the Archaeological Resources Protection Act, the Clean Air Act, the Comprehensive Environmental Response Compensation and Liability Act, the Endangered Species Act, the Energy Independence and Security Act, the Eagle Protection Act, the Farmland Protection Policy Act, Fish and Wildlife Coordination Act, the Historical Sites, Buildings, and Antiquities Act, the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, the Federal Caver Resources Protection Act, the Federal Water Pollution Control Act, the Migratory Bird Conservation Act, the National Environmental Policy Act, the National Fish and Wildlife Act, the National Park Service Organic Act, the National Historic Preservation Act, the National Park Service General Authorities Act, the National Trail System Act, the Noise Control Act, the Safe Drinking Water Act, the Native American Graves and Reparation Act, the Paleontological Resources Protection Act, the Solid Waste Disposal Act, the Wilderness Act, the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act, and the Horse and Burrow Act.
That is 30. 30 of them. 30 laws. This is just plain horrific for so many reasons beyond the above list, which reads like a wish list an anti-environmentalist would like to permanently get rid of. The waiving enacted by the Department of Homeland Security in the name of border security has big implications for the national parks, because if this can be done here, it can be done anywhere, because the ends of this administration has always justified the means.
Big Bend is not the only part of the NPS to be facing border wall construction. Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument is also receiving a new border wall, as some was already constructed during the first administration of this eco-terrorist. These construction projects, which come at a time when border crossings have fallen to historic lows, make no sense in the grand scheme of homeland security and will cause irrevocable damage to the ecosystems in which they are taking place.
Our national parks and monuments are part of the greater story and diversity of this country. The atrocities committed by this administration continue to prove that there truly is no bottom when it comes to their attitudes about what is commodity in a world with so little splendor left in it. While many of these laws, which have been waived, no longer have a public comment period because they are being waived by the Department of Homeland Security, who exercises sweeping authority to fast-track projects under the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act of 1996, the Trump administration has been stretching its own authority in shutting down public comment through the Administrative Procedure Act of 1946.
As the old saying goes, absolute power corrupts absolutely. While it may seem futile, your voices can still be heard. You can call 202-224-3121 and lobby your concern on these issues. And you can really make your voices heard at the ballot box this fall. Use your voice and use your vote to help craft a future that puts the rule of law and the protection of the environment above all else. Don't sit this vote out.
Girl, don't sit this vote out. Now, let's dive into the trails of season 8. All right, let's talk trails, Mike. We did 4 parks this season.
We did.
And we did some incredible trails in some of these parks. And let's first talk about Death Valley.
Great. So Death Valley National Park, we produced 8 episodes on Death Valley, 7 of which were about trails, 2 of which were a part 1, part 2, which gives us 8. The first set of trails that we did were in Ash Meadow. We did King's Pool. We also went to Devil's Hole.
That's right. And the purpose of doing these 2 trails, because they're a little outside the park,
mm-hmm.
is to see pupfish.
Yeah.
It's the only place in the park to see pupfish.
Well, you could see pupfish within the park at Salt Creek, but it's... When we were there, it was not the road
possible.
Was out,
yeah.
and the boardwalk was out from the flooding that had occurred from the hurricane.
But at the time, these were the only places
yes.
to see them.
Yes.
So that's why we went to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're called pupfish because they're tiny little fish.
They're tiny little puppy fish.
They're tiny little pupfish.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, these are 2 smaller trails
yep.
that we did. And, yeah, I mean, they are smaller trails.
Yeah.
One is a boardwalk.
Yep.
One is just a little loop around that brings you past a couple of watering holes.
Yeah.
But pupfish are in all of them.
Yep. It's true. Then we did a very windy night hike, which is not something we often have the pleasure of doing. This was the can't find the moonlight hike.
It's true, because this was Badwater Basin.
And it's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
By the light of the moon or by headlamp, this is the time to do it.
I would highly recommend doing this at night because it's flat.
Mm-hmm. Got to watch for some holes in the salt.
You do. It's also a perfect time for other people to take photographs of you because they're
unflattering.
Super flattering when those photographs are shared with you.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really beautiful. And it was like the moon was about to crest over the mountains.
Yeah, which we hiked later.
Which we did when we did Mount Perry later in the week.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a great thing to do
yes.
At night. Highly recommend. We also did Golden Canyon. And what I loved about how we did Golden Canyon is we made it a loop.
Yep.
We actually were in the back of Golden Canyon on the other road rather than pulling up to...
We were on Badwater Road as opposed to starting at Risky Point.
Correct.
Yep.
But we did get to Risky Point pretty quickly.
We did, yep.
And then we also included Gower Gulch, which allowed it to be a loop.
Yeah, which was great.
It's
a lot
great.
Of fun. Very hot, though.
It is.
Exposed.
But it was such a fun trail.
Yeah.
I think this trail is so worth it. And it is like a wonderland of up and down throughout and mm-hmm. full of color.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And just like texture everywhere.
Everywhere.
But go in the morning. Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
First
yes.
light.
Yes.
Yeah. To see the color shift because
absolutely.
It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of colors, we also did Artist Palette.
Mm-hmm.
We did an episode where we talked about 3 smaller things, which included Artist Palette, Natural Bridge, and Devil's Golf Course.
Yep.
All of which can be done right off of Badwater Road.
Yeah. They're all relatively close to one another.
Artist Palette is... One can drive through it. You can also get out and get on foot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a spot in Death Valley that has, it's called Artist Palette because there's so many colors involved.
Yeah.
Like there's color on the rock and you get really close. I mean, it's like every color you can think of
yep.
is sort of like naturally there.
Mm-hmm. Natural Bridge was a hike that we did early in the morning before we did a larger day of hiking. And it was great because we had the whole space to ourselves. And it was a big uphill trudge through very loose rock. So again, morning time, the best time to go because we had the whole natural bridge to ourselves and we weren't sloughing it through like the high heat of the day in this like slot canyon or this canyon essentially.
Then Devil's Golf Course. This was a strange place because
yep.
Badwater Basin is the area that contains much of the salt flats, which that's why you go to Death Valley to see the salt flats.
Sure. I mean, lots of other
reasons
too, but yeah.
But Devil's Golf Course has a section of the salt flats that are actually really textured, and it's called the Devil's Golf Course because it would be like really hard to play a game of golf here because
sure.
it's like...
Too much happening.
A lot happening.
Yeah.
And... Some of that salt is really sharp.
Yeah.
I did get like a cut on my leg at
yeah.
Devil's Golf Course that, you know, I did have to put some Band-Aids
mm-hmm.
on, which is fine. But it was like the gentlest of like, you know, like contact I made with that salt. And thus it did cut the skin.
Sure. Yeah.
So the next episode we produced was about doing a hike at Yubahibi Crater, which is fully
like,
on the other side of Death Valley.
And like being in Hawaii.
Or on Mars.
Or in Iceland.
Somewhere else entirely.
Yeah.
I mean, it was... tremendous hike.
Yeah.
Such a great hike. And honestly, I mean, there were some uphill and downhill, but like not the hardest hike
no.
we did in Death Valley for sure.
No. But again,
100% worth
it. Early morning.
Like
very
drive out there
beautiful
and go
dawn.
To that crater.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible.
And in the same day, we hiked Mosaic Canyon, which has some fascinating rock formations and a lot of fun scrambling towards the end that you have to do
yeah.
to kind of get to where you want to go, which is like a terminal point at a dry fall.
It's true. There is a section that looks like you're going to have to maybe crawl up a
dry fall,
a dry waterfall.
But
and
no,
you don't have to do that.
You follow the marks on the ground.
On the ground. There's literally arrows made of rocks.
Mm-hmm. This was a big
on the
like
ground.
Thing in Death Valley. Lots of arrows.
That was how they did Karen's.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was smart.
Yeah.
And then our final two episodes were about hiking Mount Perry
mm-hmm. from Dante's View.
One of the hardest hikes we've done.
Yeah.
Not because it was particularly inclined, but because there was so much incline both ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was incline both.
There was no way to escape
ways.
It. Yeah.
And it was a lot.
And it was exposed, very, very exposed at the end.
Yeah.
And it was lengthy. It took us like the whole day to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a way for us to escape the heat of the valley.
Yeah.
For most of the day because it's much cooler. So, yeah. So, speaking of Death Valley, and we'll kind of do this for each of the parks this season, we're going to posit four things about Death Valley. Okay. So, what was your favorite memory within the park that you had while you were there?
My ballet flats. I think that was my favorite. Speaking of, I was wearing them today.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you saw them. I was literally wearing my ballet flats
That's
today.
Fun.
So tell the folks at home the context.
We were...
what are my ballet flats?
Your ballet flats.
And how did they get that
Are your
term?
Like toms.
They're not even toms.
They're like fake toms.
They're just little slip-ons.
They're like plimsolls. And we were in Ash Meadow on the boardwalk mm-hmm. and... We were talking to Cynthia, who we were traveling with, about ballet because she has a degree in dance. And Dusty was like, oh, I took dance. And she's like, okay, great. It was
and
like
she
a
was
dance
basically
quiz.
Like, oh, you claim to know ballet?
Yeah.
Prove it. And she was like, do a tendu,
yeah.
do a plie, do a blah, blah, blah. What is this? And I knew all the answers mm-hmm. because I did take ballet.
Sure.
And
you were a good
so,
study.
And she was like, all right, good look at you. And mm-hmm. so she is the one who named my little shoes ballet flats
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and so
we were
what happened
going to we were going to Badwater Basin and
you mentioned
it was
windy.
Very very windy, like extreme wind, and Dusty opened up the back of the car, the hatchback, to get his boots because he was in his ballet flats. He took them off and they blew away in the wind in the parking lot, in the pitch black.
Uh-huh.
And you screamed and ran after them. You got them both, though.
I did get them yeah. both. I wasn't going to lose my ballet
no.
flats.
Mm-mm.
I'm not going to lie. I think those shoes cost me $11, like at a Marshall's about 15 years ago. But they still work.
They still work.
They service my like beach shoes because I actually don't like walking mm-hmm. barefoot
flip-flops.
At the beach.
Yeah.
And nor do I like walking in flip-flops. Mm-mm. And so... I wear those, and I don't care if Sam gets in them.
Mm-hmm. I think my
favorite memory
was going stargazing at Harmony Borax
yeah.
Works and watching the Starlink satellites all launch,
it
and all of us
wild.
Feeling like we were being invaded. We didn't talk about
any
it at
of
all.
Our episodes
no.
in Death Valley. So we're stargazing one night because it's Death Valley. It's a dark sky park. Like,
and the moon was coming up the latest this night.
And we wanted to sit and look at stars. It is an amazing place to sit and look at stars.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting there, and what do we notice over the left?
We're like, wow, there's a line of like bright stars that are
a
like
a line of bright lights
moving very quickly. What is happening? And we all... We're
we all
like
thought we were having
out.
An alien encounter. I'm not kidding you. We were like, what is going on? And what was even weirder is that they were in a straight line. There was like, I don't know, 15 to 20 mm-hmm. lights mm-hmm. in a straight line moving up. And it was just like they went up, 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 and then disappeared into darkness.
Yeah.
We researched later when we had Wi-Fi and to find out that we did know that Starlink was very close.
Mm-hmm.
But that was Starlink launching satellites into
yeah.
the air. So that is what we saw.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. What was your favorite hike?
My favorite hike in Death Valley is Golden Canyon.
Yeah, I think so.
It is so special. And it is honestly not that difficult and fun.
It's tough, but it's
not that difficult. It was a lot of different terrain and a lot of like seeing really cool stuff from a lot of different angles very quickly. And yes, it's completely exposed the whole time, like everything in Death Valley, but it was so worth it. So worth it. Yeah, it's my favorite. What about you?
It's the same. I mean, Mount Perry is a real close second because it's a lot of fun. But it's really, really tough.
Yeah. I would say definitely Mount Perry second, Yuba Hebe third. Mm-hmm. I would say Yuba Hebe might tie for second. Mm-hmm. What about your favorite experience?
I think my favorite experience, and when we say that, I think it's like a thing in the park that isn't necessarily a hike when we talk about it. I think my favorite experience was probably doing the pupfish pools. Mm. Like, those weren't really hikes. Sure, they were, but they were minimal at best. But that was a really cool aspect of seeing something from the natural world that you can't really see anywhere else.
I think my favorite experience was the swimming pool at Furnace Creek. Because we went there almost every day.
And showered.
And showered. And like, because there were no showers at our campsite. But we also got to swim. And that pool was cold. And it felt great.
Yeah.
Okay. So what superlative are you going to give Death Valley National Park?
The most likely to melt your face off, no matter the time of the year. How about you?
Okay. I think I'm going to give it biggest surprise. I did not know that Death Valley was going to be as incredibly full of beautiful, different terrain. I really thought it was going to be just flat land the whole time, and it was not. It was full of mountainous regions and lots of different terrain and a lot of different trails that I didn't expect. So most surprising.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right. So now let's move to Pinnacles National Park, which is also in California. We did these parks one right after the other. And Pinnacles is a relatively small park. It's doable really within 2 days, 3 days, maybe if you wanted to do it all and get some rock climbing into, because it is also a park where there's a lot of climbing routes, but there's also a lot to experience in the park besides hiking.
So yeah, we did 2 days worth of hiking in Pinnacles, and we have four episodes here. The first episode is about Bear Gulch Caves,
which is a talus cave, which is a cave that is not really a below ground cave.
It's not subterranean. It just feels like a cave because rocks have fallen from above.
Yeah.
And they have created a shape. And inside of them, when you walk through them, it feels like a cave.
Yeah. It's really cool. Headlamps are necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. It does involve some hands.
Yeah.
And some scrambling.
Yeah. This took us through some wooded areas too prior to the caves and then up to the reservoir, which is like a larger section within the park, a larger water feature within the park as well.
Yeah.
And then from here, we made our way to the High Peaks Trail, which was a really incredible experience because this was kind of winding. It took us up. We had some incredible views through the valleys here before we kind of got to the highest point within the park.
And it doesn't take that long to get to the highest point in the park. These pinnacles are not mountains.
No.
They are pinnacles, which is
rock spires, essentially.
Rock spires that came out of the earth during volcanic activity 23 million years ago.
Yeah.
That is what they are. Yeah. And it kind of looks mountainous, but it's not a mountain. Mm-mm, mm-mm. The High Peaks Trail, I loved.
Yeah.
I loved. I think it
was... What was special about the High Peaks for you, though?
The vegetation, but also this is actually where we got to see condors.
Yeah.
For the first time. Yeah, they were pretty up close. It was like they showed up for their 12:30 show. I mean, it was incredible to see them. Yeah, we go into all the details about that in these episodes about these birds and being able to see them.
Yeah.
So the next episode we did was on Blue Oak Canyon Trail.
Mm-hmm. Which was sort of our initial descent from the High Peaks area. Now, we would end back up in the High Peaks space again on the second day. But this was a very wooded but very aggressive hike down. I can't imagine hiking up this, and we saw plenty of people hiking up this to go towards what was High Peaks. There's a really great vantage point from this part of the trail, kind of like midway down or midway up, however you're looking at it, where you can actually see up to the High Peaks area. And maybe that's all you do, because
we're talking about the Condor Gulch Trail is actually what we're talking about. So we had this issue when we were recording the episodes, which I thought was very funny, because the first day we went up High Peaks Trail and then we came down the Condor Gulch Trail.
Yeah.
And then the second day we did the Balcony Cliffs Trail, and then we went down the Blue Oak Canyon Trail. But on this first day, the Condor Gulch Trail is all those things you described.
Right.
There is sort of like a central vantage point. What I will say about the Condor Gulch Trail is that it's steep.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was steep going down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And there were people who were going up, and it was like the only thing they were doing. And I'm like, it would have been so much better to go up the High Peaks Trail, because the grade is way less steep. And I felt like you just got better views the whole time.
Sure.
Because the Condor Gulch Trail is a little shaded and a little covered.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you don't mind the exposure.
Yeah.
So, finally, we did the Balcony Cliffs Trail the second day. And what did we see when we were doing this trail?
Three more condors.
We did.
Yeah.
They were a little further away.
Yeah.
But we saw them.
Yeah.
We spotted them in the binoculars.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah. We got some more trail. We got some more caves in on the trail. We also ended back up on High Peaks as we went. Like, we did a lot this day.
We did the tunnel
we
trail.
We did tunnel trail, got back to High Peaks, and then did go down Blue Oak Canyon, which
That's
was
right.
gentler and
it was
kind
gentler
of like
and
meadowy
less,
at the
it
top.
It was the least interesting of all the trails we did. I would say that particular leg of trails, because there's not a ton of trails that run through Pinnacles. So it's very easy in 2 days to see everything.
Yeah.
Arguably, one could see a lot of Pinnacles in a day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
it'd be a long day, but yes.
Okay, so best memory in this park.
I think it's got to be seeing those condors at High Peaks.
I agree completely. Yeah. I mean, that, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so your favorite hike?
My favorite hike is probably... was probably the Balcony Cliffs Trails day, because we did so much that day. We were like in meadow and then headed up through the caves, and then we made our way up to High Peaks, and then we came down, you know, we went through the tunnel trail. We'd done a lot to get up to that point back to High Peaks, and then came down through Blue Oak, which was like, yes, boring, but I think it was kind of necessary at that point.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I think my favorite hike is, I'm going to say High Peaks Trail. Going up High Peaks Trail from, like, after we did Bear Gulch Caves, I felt like we got the best of all sides of that park.
Yeah.
Like, the perfect views of each vantage point going up High Peaks. So that's my favorite hike.
Yeah. What was your favorite experience?
I think my favorite experience was... standing there with Cynthia when Cynthia thought she saw like 20 condors in the air at once.
And they were
and
all non-doors.
And I kind of just was like, I'm going to go along with this party. You know what I mean? Like,
Becky and I had left.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure they're not condors.
Yeah.
And they're far away. And we couldn't even tell in the binoculars if they were or were not condors.
Yeah, you couldn't see if they
and
were tagged.
And Becky's like, there's never going to be 20 condors together in the air. There aren't that many in as we have it, and they're not, they don't swarm like that the way that vultures do. And there were tons of turkey vultures and black vultures all around, and that's what they were.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite
mine
experience?
Mine was, I blame it on the nail tech.
Blame it on the nail tech. That was a good
our
line.
Little fashion studio
we did,
moment.
We,
in
we
the Pinnacles
did paint
campground.
Our nails at the Pinnacles campground, and your nails looked fabulous, and mine looked...
ratchet? Is that was the word?
That wasn't what I was going to say. I was going to say mine looked like they were still first years.
Yeah.
Because someone... I blame the nail tech.
You blame the nail tech.
That's
and we also
right.
froze our asses off in that tent that night because it got really cold.
It did.
Yeah.
So what superlative are you giving Pinnacles National Park?
The Winged Wonderland superlative, I think. There's no other way to do it because it's like those condors are so impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to give Pinnacles National Park, best kept secret because you get California condors and also these incredible trails that you don't even need to spend a lot of time in to see. But is it, does it feel like it needs to be a national park? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%. And yeah, I would go there again in a second. We know that there are so many ways to get outside and explore the national parks. And if you are thinking about finally renting an RV this summer to have an adventure of a lifetime, then look no further than Outdoorsy. Outdoorsy is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the United States, making it easy for anyone to rent an RV or camper without owning one.
They have thousands of RVs and campers nationwide, available right in your neighborhood, and you can have it delivered and fully set up at your destination. It's so easy. It's only three simple steps to get started on your adventure.
First, search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. Then, book with confidence. Insurance, support, and protection are all included. And finally, hit the road or arrive and relax, whether you're driving, towing, or getting it delivered.
As people who love exploring and love getting into the national parks, we don't own an RV or camper, but sometimes we want that. And that's why Outdoorsy is the perfect solution.
Right now, our listeners can have all service fees removed from their booking in 2026 with code GAZE at outdoorsy.com. That's OUTDOORSY.com. And use our code GAZE, GAZE, at checkout to remove service fees. And that is outdoorsy.com. Hey, y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails! So our next park that we went to is White Sands National Park.
Mm-hmm.
White Sands is tiny. This is a half day park.
It's a half day park.
Sorry, y'all.
For sure.
So we did a few trails here. In our first episode, we did the Playa Trail, the Interdune Boardwalk, not Interlude, as I said many
a
time.
We called it that. Yeah, it's okay.
And the Dune Life Nature Trail, which were three very tiny trails within the park, like 0.2, 0.3, and then half a mile kind of respectively. Like, they're very tiny.
Yeah.
Like, they're not a lot of time to take, but it's like a great, those three are a great lay of the land to better understand the park itself and also kind of get to see a little bit of plant life on the Dune Life Nature Trail, which I was like, oh, okay, you're here.
Those small little trails are really the only thing to do
other than
the big old loop, which
Alkali
we're about
Flat
to talk
trail.
About.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to go, it is pointless to go to a national park and just go to the visitor center because, I mean, honestly, almost anywhere, unless there's some phenomenal view of the visitor center.
Sure.
Like, I could maybe understand somebody who goes to New River Gorge and goes to that one visitor center where they see the bridge and they see the gorge and they see all that. But
even
Black Canyon,
too, had a pretty good view from their visitor center.
Correct.
Yeah.
But engaging with the park, even if it's a park road, is worth it.
Yeah.
And in White Sands, you do have these three smaller trails. One is literally a boardwalk that's like, boop, like not much.
But it's very accessible.
And then the Playa Trail is, a nature trail, but it's like, it's
Point
not
two.
Far.
Yeah.
And then the Dune Life Nature Trail, that one is, I would argue, like a miniature version of the Alkali Flat Trail.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the Alkali Flat Trail is like the big, gigantic loop.
That's just dunes.
Just dunes, and it is the same thing.
Yes, it's a lot of monotony.
But it was really fun.
It was fun.
I really had a fun time.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And I really didn't want to do it. And then
I know, you were really...
You were the one who was like, well, no, we're doing it. You are the king of, well, I'm here. I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm here.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, there's air conditioning and Diet Coke to be had. You know what I mean? Like, a little bit. I mean, and I'm somebody who loves to be outside.
Sure.
But I was tired this day.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, Becky, Mike's going to want to do this loop.
Yeah.
This 5 mile.
She wanted to do it too. She hadn't done it.
She said, I don't need to do this. Mm-hmm. And that is her.
I said, well, I do.
That is her way of saying, I don't want to do this. But, which is not always true, but.
But Mama put her foot down.
You put your foot down mm-hmm. for sure. Mama did put her foot down and you were like, no, we're doing this. And so we did. And mm-hmm. I'm glad we did. It was really fun.
It was great.
It was really fun. So what is your best memory in White Sands National Park?
Probably like cascading down the dunes in the Alkali Flat Trail. Like jump bounding down the dunes. That was a lot of fun.
That's what I was going to say too.
Yeah.
That was wild. Another memory I have that I love is being able to hold gypsum sand and mm-hmm. like really closely investigate it and see that it's so fine.
Yeah.
It feels so different than like beach sand that we have here in
New Jersey. Yeah. Or even on the coast where you grew up. Yeah. And by that, I mean the Gulf Coast. What was your favorite hike?
I think the Alkali Flat Trail.
It's kind of like
special, different, hadn't seen anything like it ever.
Yeah.
Favorite experience?
File footage, not. I mean, I think just the fact that it was such a small park. And like it was a very doable park within a day. I think had we gotten to see some like stars, that would have been a very different story.
Yeah. Or maybe heard a missile launch. But we would not have been there during that time. They would have shut down everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the I think my favorite experience was the interpretive signage on the Dune Life Nature Trail. Mm.
The Katie the Kit Fox signage.
Katie the Kit Fox is a character
mascot
they created.
Katie the Kit Fox is a character that they crafted.
Yes, keenly.
Carefully.
And carefully.
Hard case.
Hard case are funny. Mm. And so anyway, I liked this because obviously White Sands National Park is known for its wildlife.
Yeah.
We did an entire episode on the wildlife here and how special it is and how there literally are animals here you can't see anywhere else in the world and that have adapted a certain way and have created their own species. But when you're visiting the park, you will never see them because they're all nocturnal.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
all come out at night, including the kit fox.
Yeah.
So I think making the animals characters in the interpretive signage was like a fun way of getting us to see them without seeing them.
Yeah. And then what is the park superlative that you would give this park?
I would give this like the award for most picturesque desert. Like when I imagine desert in like, that's
textbook
what I imagine.
Desert, yeah.
Textbook desert is sand dunes and that is what I see.
I'd give it the half day okay award.
Oh, God, that was such good wordplay. Well done.
Mm-hmm. Because that's all you need, girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which brings us to our final park of the season, Saguaro National Park.
Mm-hmm.
And here we spent our first day doing a lot, but most of it was a hike to Wasson Peak, which is the tallest peak within the park, which we took the King Canyon and part of the Hugh Norris Trail to get to, which was just cactus wonderland. So many saguaros.
Yes.
Super bloom.
Without a
just
doubt.
Just like bus, club, another bus.
It was.
Yeah. And it was a toughie because we were gaining a lot of elevation in a short amount of time.
It's true. Similarly, we did a giant loop and had to do two episodes about this giant loop.
Right.
And the second episode we did from Saguaro, we got to Wasson Peak and then we went down the Hugh Norris and the Sendero Esperanza Trail to the King Canyon Wash.
Yeah.
Saw lots more of the same on the way down, including
a rattlesnake.
Well, two of them.
Well, not on the trail. One on the trail.
One on the trail, one on the road.
Yeah.
Right?
But, yeah.
But okay, so FYI, Arizona has, like, the Sonoran Desert has more rattlesnakes in it than anywhere else in the world. And so there are a lot of rattlesnakes in Saguaro, just to, like, be aware of. And I think the fact that the whole time we were there, we only saw two, pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that most people would prefer zero.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you being one of them.
We had the Bajada Loop Drive, which we did. This was sort of our small trails episode. Mm-hmm. We did that drive as well as the Desert Discovery Trail, the Cactus Forest Drive, as well as the Desert Ecology Trail.
Split between West Saguaro and East Saguaro.
That's right. Because there are two separate areas. And do you know who added that separate area?
Herbert Hoover.
No.
Hoover.
No, well, no, but Herbert Hoover did
start that park.
Start the National Monument. Mm-hmm. And then Kennedy added the other section. Oh. And then much later it became a national park. We did the little trails and the drives. And
yeah.
I mean,
the
I think
drives.
One of the fun things was seeing the rattlesnake from the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
We also on one of these saw a Gila monster.
We did,
which
but that
is
was
incredibly,
later.
Incredibly poisonous.
Yeah,
but they're so chill. Chill.
Yeah, and our last trail within Saguaro was the Freeman Homestead Cactus Forest Trail and the Lime Falls Trail, all within East Saguaro. And this is where we got to see the Gila monster and get to learn a little bit more about the desert on the Freeman Homestead Trail, and really just have a lovely little finish here in Saguaro.
It's true. Mm-hmm. So what is your best memory in this park?
My best memory is, I don't know if it's my best, but it definitely is the funniest, is the rattlesnake moment. Was like,
that one was
that
good.
One is one that will always stick with me, because I was like, oh, that noise. Oh, I look down. Oh, you just need to keep moving. What was that?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
You
it's fine.
You were such a protective friend.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think my best memory, only because like I laugh so hard at it, is when we were doing that final grunt up to Wasson Peak. I was just like so
mad.
And I don't remember why. I don't remember anything other than clearly it didn't matter. You know what I mean? And like, I think I was it was hot, it was steep, and I don't think we had enough food.
Mm.
That was why.
Yeah. To start the day, you mean? We did have plenty of food, but
to start the day.
Yeah. What was your favorite hike?
I think the Wasson Peak hike was it's so epic.
And it's kind of the iconic
love a seven
hike.
Realms situation, and it was close to that.
Sure. Yeah.
And you're right. It is like the iconic trail in that park to do.
Yeah.
Worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. What was your favorite experience?
All the hummingbirds. There were so many hummingbirds in Saguaro.
Mm-hmm.
There, I mean, you could hear them, and then, I mean, I feel like hummingbirds get, because of the ones that maybe we see up here, I feel like hummingbirds have a connotation of, like, you know, people think of the ruby-throated hummingbird or, like, the ones that are, like, really brightly colored. But I really love hummingbirds that are, like, very boring colored.
Mm.
Like, there was, like, so many just all black, not sparkly hummingbirds in Saguaro. And I was like, I love this. I saw ones that were brown that were, like, would be considered unremarkable, and I thought they were beautiful.
Mm.
What was your favorite experience?
I think that the little forest, like Desert Discovery and the Desert Ecology Trails were like, they are little trails, but they were kind of nice, like learning experiences.
Great interpretive
like,
signage.
I think doing that and doing the visitor center, especially if you're able to do the Desert Discovery and then the visitor center on that side, and West Saguaro, like they're great paired things to do prior to like getting into the park, because you learn a lot about the park because of that. Saguaro had a great visitor center.
An amazing visitor center. So educational.
Mm-hmm. And so what's your park superlative?
I think I'm going to give the go with me here on this journey. Mm-hmm. I'm giving Saguaro National Park the Sequoia Award for iconic plant life because there are many national parks that are named for a specific plant that only grows there.
Yeah.
We have great examples here, which are Sequoia for Sequoia trees. We've got
Joshua tree
for Joshua trees. And then here we have Saguaro for these cacti, and nothing compares to these cacti.
And redwoods, too.
And redwoods.
We'll be seeing soon.
We will be. So it really does sort of like you, I understand why it has its name.
Yeah.
Because of what is there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what superlative are you giving to saguaro?
I'm going
to
give it the super bloom superlative.
Oh.
Because we got, you know, you can't time that
the
thing.
Greatest super bloom. You can't time that.
If you're a traveler, I mean, if you live near, sure, you could time it well.
Hoping
but, yeah.
that maybe you'd get some mm-hmm. amount of bloom, but we had super bloom.
Yeah. All right. So some final lightning round superlatives kind of, or just like answers
okay,
before
I'm
some
ready.
Trivia. So drop everything and hike it again. What's the trail?
Oh, Golden Canyon
yeah,
and Death Valley.
Me too.
Without second thought.
Okay. Rethinking our life choices hike.
Mount Perry.
Yeah. It's probably Mount Perry for sure.
I mean, I was really thinking it for Blossom Peak, but yeah. it was coming back on Mount Perry.
Yeah, absolutely. The next to no supplies needed hike.
Oh, Pupfish or any of those yeah, little guys in White Sands.
Mm-hmm.
Any of those, yeah. But I would say Pupfish. Like,
yeah.
We were in sneakers and brought water bottles.
The Desert Ecology and Desert Discovery were also
yeah.
small. You'll be sore after this one hike. It's probably Mount Perry again.
I'm going to say either Wasson Peak or go with me here at Devil's Golf Course.
Because okay.
you can't, like, your ankles will
you're
be
cut
sore.
Up. Yeah. Yeah.
Or you're cut up.
All right. And the people everywhere hike.
Oh, God. Okay.
Or experience.
The people everywhere hike.
For me, this is Wasson Peak because we got to the top and it was like everyone from New Jersey and their mother was there. But for the most part,
we ran into so many people from New Jersey.
Very, very quiet within each of these parks that we were in.
People everywhere. I mean, okay, it's a tie for me between Artist Palette
mm-hmm.
and Death Valley. Yeah. There were so many cars.
And also Devil's Golf Course, there were a lot of people too.
A lot of people, no parking spots. Yeah. And then I would probably say High Peaks Trail in Pinnacles was pretty packed because there were a lot of people up at that one lunch spot where we sat down to eat.
Great. And then the last award before we move on is the Wildlife Award.
Well, I'm biased because my big birds are in Pinnacles. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving... Oh, but there is... White Sands is so special because...
But
the
we
wild,
didn't see those wildlife.
Because the wildlife is so special.
Wildlife we've seen is what I want to know.
I know. Then it's absolutely going to Pinnacles mm-hmm. because I would have been thoroughly satisfied with going to Pinnacles had we not seeing condors.
That's a fucking lie.
I think that's a swear I'm gonna leave that. I would have been disappointed had we not
there
seen
it is.
Condors, but I would have still enjoyed hiking Pinnacles National Park. But when those condors showed up on that first day, when I say it was like a film,
mm-hmm.
and it was like they emerged like perfectly lit, hit their mark. Like someone had trained them to do it.
Yeah.
And that was unbelievable. And then they flew over our heads and they both flew away.
It was incredible.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
How about you?
I think that's probably the only park to kind of give it to. Like, we just saw a ton of things there. Besides, we saw the acorn woodpecker. We saw plenty of deer. Mm-hmm. But the condors, the nondors, there were other birds that we saw. There were so many plants that we were seeing that Cynthia was looking up while we were on the trail. I just feel like that is a park that sticks, you know, that saguaro just from cacti and bloom, you know?
Yeah.
But we didn't see as many wildlife, you know, impressive wildlife there. Scary wildlife. Yes.
We did.
Yeah. So before we get to our queen in our game, let's talk about our hike of the season. So
I think based on what we have said, we have the same one.
Yeah.
Which for me, it's Golden Canyon in Death Valley.
Yeah.
I cannot say how incredible that hike is.
It's great.
Incredible hike.
Yeah.
It is a Seven Realms hike for sure.
Sure. Yeah.
And yeah, I recommend.
Absolutely. So with that, let's end this episode with a little trivia. Great. So I've come up with four rounds of trivia that relate.
Oh my God.
that
rounds of trivia.
They're quick, that relate to the parks in some way, shape, or form. And there's only four questions in each category because of the four parks. So,
or you just didn't want to write five.
Or I was lazy. Your choice.
Let me explain something to you. And I say this with all sincerity, and I drag you through the mud. Not like you drag me through the mud, but I do drag you through the mud plenty. You will never be in the same sentence with the word lazy. That's never, mm-hmm. ever going to happen. Mm-hmm. I just want you to know.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the first category is titled Death Gods for 100. This Norse goddess of the underworld, played by Kate Blanchett in Thor Ragnarok, has a similar name to the down below place for Christians.
What is Hela?
It's just hell.
H-E-L-A?
Mm. It's just hell.
Hell.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't go by Hel. She's Hela in...
I think so, yeah.
In Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. For 200, this jackal-headed god of ancient Egypt who weighs your heart against a feather to decide if you are granted eternal peace or if your soul ceases to exist.
I don't know her.
Oh. And who's Anubis?
No.
Okay, great. For 300, this Greek god of the underworld has some pretty famous siblings in Zeus and Poseidon.
Who is... Hades?
Correct. Yep. If I had said Roman god, it would be?
Hela?
No. Pluto.
Oh.
Hela.
Hela Pluto.
Uh-huh. This, for 400, this wife of Shiva is closely associated with death and destruction. Her name is chanted in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom as the thuggy cult worships her.
Oh.
What does he chant when he pulls the heart out?
I don't know what they're saying. Oh. Athena. Athena. I think that's wrong.
That's very wrong.
Artemis.
Who is Kali? Artemis. Who is Kali?
Kali?
Yeah.
So no, I don't know her.
Oh, okay. Well, they shout Kali Ma in...
that's
like
right.
When they're removing the heart.
This makes sense. I remember that moment. Yeah. But I didn't remember what they were saying.
Yeah. If you want some more information on that movie, great other podcast to check out is What Went Wrong About
they
Movies.
They do a great job. They do a great job. Diving.
And they're a good one to listen to. Okay, great. Next category, pinnacles. This is all about the tallest mountain peaks on each continent.
Okay.
For 100, this peak, once renamed Mount McKinley before being returned to its original name, is the highest peak in North America.
What is Denali?
Correct. For 200, this tallest mountain in the world is one of the most difficult climbs with the trail of frozen bodies to prove it.
What is Everest?
Correct. For 300, this tallest mountain in Africa is located in Tanzania.
What is Kilimanjaro?
Correct. And for 400, this tallest mountain in Western Europe is also... the French word for white.
What is Mount Blanc?
Correct.
Or Mont Blanc.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's for Mount Blanc, honestly. Mm-hmm.
For our next category, it's titled White Idioms. So instead of like white collar, it would be you're going to have to use that idiom, but you're going to have to sub in a different word for white that I'm going to provide in the clue.
Oh, fun. I like this.
Okay. So for 100, this nefarious action perpetrated by a wealthy office working people, if instead of white, it was a synonym that also may be something you crack for your breakfast.
Oh, okay. What is eggshell collar crime?
That's correct.
Oh my God. I love this category.
All right. For 200, this sign of defeat you might wave if instead of white, it was this synonym that is the color of the tower elites often look down on us from.
What is an ivory flag?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
For 300, this game often played at a holiday party where gifts are brought and stolen if instead of white, it was this synonym that may also describe frozen precipitation.
What is ice elephant?
That's not what
Wait,
I wanted.
Oh, okay. What is sleet?
Nope.
What is hail?
No.
What
this
is
also frozen?
Snow elephant.
That's correct.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, there we go. And for 400, this small fib, if instead of white, was this very bland flavor of ice cream and bedroom behavior.
You know what? I don't need you to make a big deal out of that because that was just a little vanilla lie.
That's correct. And lastly, this category is titled Saguaro, and basically the answers will all contain letters from the word saguaro.
Oh, okay.
It's like a jumble category.
Great.
For 100, break me down into just five pieces and I will give you something sweet.
Who is the girl I'm looking at right now?
Yep, that's it.
What is five pieces?
Mm-hmm. And by pieces, I mean letters when I say pieces. If you break the word saguaro down just into five letters, I'll give you something sweet.
Oh, what is... You know, I don't know.
What's sugar?
Of
Can
course.
Be made from the word saguaro.
Got it.
For 200, break me down into four pieces and I will give you something to help move your boat.
What is a toe?
No.
I don't
incorrect.
Know.
What is oars?
Oars. Okay.
For 300, break me down into just three pieces and I will give you something to help you clean with.
What is...
Rag!
And for 400, break me down into just two pieces and I will give you something to help make a simile.
Break me down in just two pieces and I will give you something to make a simile. A simile?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what is... ass.
That's correct.
Great.
And that's season 8, everybody.
Oh my god, that was your last question.
That was my last question.
Oh, that's right, because you only did 4 per category.
Because I'm lazy.
Yep, that's it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's tell the folks when they will hear us again. Mm-hmm. So we're here
so
when you're
join
hearing
us on
this,
the Travel Channel starting. That was our big little reveal.
Listen, no, we can't say that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not on the Travel Channel, but this is coming out here at the end of July.
Mm-hmm.
And when will we be back with new episodes? Because we take
sometime
a hiatus
in the middle of September.
We are human beings, and we do want to remind everybody, like, we are the only production team for this entire
it's
show.
True.
Everything you see in here is produced by the two of us solo. And yeah. We are solo, but the two of us duo, you know, we duet on this show.
Uh-huh.
In harmony.
Mm-hmm.
So
harmony.
We'll be back when?
Sometime in mid-September.
Yeah. Middle September, we always come back. Yeah. But what we do is we often record our episodes well ahead of time, mm-hmm, so that we can stay ahead of things.
Yep.
And so, yeah. Well, while you may not be hearing us during August, you can bet that we are still recording and still working.
We sure are.
So... And also, we just want to say the following, is that I know we're here at the very end of season 8. We've been on since 2018.
We have.
And we have visited now, by the time this episode comes out,
46.
We will be at 46 of the 63 national parks. And we've reported on most of those.
Yeah.
There's still many that you'll hear in season 9 that we have already visited, and we're still visiting more. So... It is always a pleasure, and I just want to take a moment to shout out the folks who take the time to sit down and write us an email.
Mm-hmm.
We actually get quite a lot of emails from folks who share with us how they found the show and just send really lovely messages, and we just want to say that they mean a lot to us.
Yeah, they do.
And that being able to connect with you via email or however it is, either in the DMs on Instagram or, you know, those of you who send us Facebook messages, we see all of them, we read all of them, and it means everything. And we want to thank you for going on this ride with
us. See you in season 9.
But happier.
See you in season 9. See you in season 9. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin. Justin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at gaysatthenationalparks. To contact us, email us at gaysatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gaysatthenationalparks.com. That's gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sclios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.